Going to begin a series of studies, and the series is entitled Marks of Maturity. Marks of Maturity, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. This evening we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter number 1, so if you turn there with me. Our study tonight in our series entitled Marks of Maturity, our study tonight is receiving instruction. Receiving instruction. Now, the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to instruct, warn, and admonish his own sons. The instruction is such that maturity is the hope for outcome in the lives of these young men. And may God help us all here to be mature. Amen. So Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll look at beginning the first four verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And of course we see that the author is identified. It's the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, who was king of Israel, and of course we know that Solomon, after David died, took over the throne. And of course the reign of Solomon is a picture and type of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ in this earth. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. First, we want to ask, why do we need to receive instruction? As we read down, the first thing we read is to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom indicates to obtain the ability to be able to draw judgment in moral and spiritual issues. And we see real wisdom in the Bible is contrasted against worldly wisdom as diamonds, amen, are set against dung. Look at, for me, example in James chapter 3, the book of James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we have a contrast between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, amen. James chapter 3, as we begin reading in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So here we have the characteristics of worldly wisdom, in other words, wisdom that's not from above, that doesn't come from heaven. It's earthly. Its origin is planet Earth, this world system. It's sensual. It's devilish, so it's of the devil, amen. Sensual, it has to do with the senses. It pleases the senses, amen. Then it's interesting as he continues and he's talking about this wisdom that descendeth not from above. He says, "But for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So this to me tells me this is a byproduct of earthly wisdom that comes from the earth and is devilish and sensual, is envy and strife. And as a result of envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. So we see then the Bible sets out what earthly wisdom or worldly wisdom is. Now, looking in verse 17, we're going to have a contrast. We've just been described wisdom that is not from above. Verse 17 says, but, however, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Pure. That's number one, pure. I believe this word of God, this King James Bible, which is God's preserved, inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God, is wisdom that's from above. And it's pure. What you and I have in our hands is the pure word of God. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said he would preserve his pure words forever. James chapter 3, but, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, pure word of God, then peaceable, See the contrast between the wisdom that's not from above? The wisdom that's from above is peaceable. The wisdom that's not from above causes envy and strife and confusion. Man's been trying to supposedly bring in peace with his worldly wisdom for how many thousands of years, and it hasn't been accomplished. But I'll tell you one thing. If man would go to not wisdom from above, from below, but from above, they'd find out how to bring peace. Because this word of God says the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable. This word of God tells us how we can get along with our neighbors, in our families, in our acquaintances. This pure word of God, this wisdom from above tells us the only way there's going to be peace on this earth is when Jesus Christ touches down very shortly someday and rules and reigns for 1,000 years with a rod of iron from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Amen. Easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy, full of mercy. Worldly wisdom is not full of mercy, let me tell you. Worldly mercy says an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. I mean, I know it says that in the Bible in the Old Testament, but what we're saying is God is merciful. Worldly wisdom today says retaliation, get even. Wisdom from above says, vengeance is mine. Don't take any revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. God's mercy, amen. Every man, woman, boy, girl born in this world is a sinner, amen. On the way to hell, God showed mercy. How? Through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom from above is full of mercy. Good fruits. And good fruits This Bible that we have in our hands is certainly over the last 100 years or so, 300 years, has certainly brought forth good fruit. We've seen revival in men's heart come about as preaching from this Bible. We've seen literally millions saved through the preaching from this pure word of God, that wisdom from above. Good fruits. We've seen people get victory over sin in their lives because of preaching from this book here, the King James Bible. Amen. Good fruits. Good fruits. Without partiality. Amen. This wisdom from above doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Amen. Black or white. Amen. It's without, okay, it's without partiality. The judgments in this book are blind. God hates sin and that's it. You can't buy them off. You can't talk them off. Amen. It's without partiality. Amen. True judgment. Without hypocrisy. Wisdom from above. It's the wisdom on this earth is from hypocrites. Say one thing and do another. Amen. Bible says God can't lie. This is God's wisdom that we're holding in our hand tonight in this King James Bible. Amen. Goes on, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What a contrast between the wisdom that's from below and not above. Anybody with any common sense would say, hey, I want the wisdom from above. No. Time and time again, man picks the wisdom from this earth or below, worldly wisdom. Look at it in Ecclesiastes with me. Book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verse 18. For much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And of course, my friend, it's talking about worldly wisdom. The more worldly wisdom, it says, that you have, the more grief you'll have. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They had the knowledge of good and evil when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had knowledge that they didn't have before, worldly knowledge, and what did it do? It caused them grief and sorrow, my dear friends. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Even in psychology tells us to that today, amen. As we go up and we don't need, you know, we're not worried about our basic needs and we get more and more and more and more knowledge and more intelligent, then we have all these psychosomatic illnesses, amen. For in much wisdom is much grief. We see man's knowledge in weapons of destruction, amen. Before they used to kill man one at a time, now they do it at a million at a time. More knowledge, more grief, more sorrow. We could just preach a while on each one of these verses, amen, and talking about worldly wisdom. Looking in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians with me. First Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So Paul is telling us that he preached the gospel of grace, not with worldly wisdom, but with a wisdom from below, but from wisdom from above. Lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. In other words, if he preached with worldly wisdom, people would have been, oh, so awed of him. Would have been, oh, so taken up with him. And the purpose of his preaching wouldn't have even been noticed. The purpose of his preaching was to get people saved through hearing of the word of God. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Of course. Why is it foolish? Because it's wisdom from above and not below. That's why it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, wisdom from above is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He's going to destroy the worldly wisdom of the worldly wise. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Someone who is very cautious about how he does things and very intelligent. And he's going to bring to naught all of that. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He certainly has. Because when God does things, he doesn't take into account the wisdom of this world, wisdom that's from below. Anything he does is counter to that most of the time. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Absolutely. Worldly wisdom wants nothing to do with God. Because worldly wisdom sets up man as God. God's out completely out of the formula. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. And of course, we know the Greeks were very caught up in worldly wisdom. Amen. We could name some of the Greek philosophers. That's what they were caught up in, worldly wisdom. Aristotle, Socrates, so forth and so on. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, the wisdom. It's interesting. Christ is the wisdom of God, amen? Why? If you think about it, Christ was wisdom from above that came down below, amen? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. He doesn't usually call people with a lot of worldly wisdom, is what he's saying. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, in righteousness, in sanctification, in redemption. Look what we have as Christians. Wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, wisdom from above, righteousness, spiritual righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Again, we're saying, we're looking at, why do we need to receive instruction? We're looking at A, to know wisdom and instruction. Also, and we said to know wisdom indicates to obtain the ability to draw judgment in moral and spiritual issues, and we just compared, amen, worldly wisdom with godly wisdom. Instruction carries another idea, which deals with the idea of training a child by chastening and discipline. Looking at Proverbs again. That's how we instruct a child. We're to instruct a child by chastening and discipline. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. Verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. That child reflects upon you as a parent. Amen. Reflects upon the parent. And a child is known. As a parent, have you been teaching him spiritual wisdom or worldly wisdom? Who does he reflect? Does he reflect God? Does he reflect Christ? Or does he reflect this sinful world, this wicked world? Amen. And it's known. He's known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And if you've been instructing him with spiritual wisdom, godly wisdom, then his work and what he does will be pure and will be right. And he'll have a testimony, even as a child. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Instruct that child. Give him some direction. Give him some instruction. Today, the attitude of worldly wisdom is anything goes. Oh, he'll find out later on. Let him find out on his own. Don't stifle his expression in his individual growth and creativity. Amen. But the Bible says, train up a child, instruct a child, give him direction. Amen. So he'll do, so his works will reflect that will reflect that you've been training him, instructing him properly, that his work will be pure and right. Amen. Look at in verse 15 of that same chapter, Proverbs 22. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. A child is naturally foolish. He doesn't need how to be instructed to be foolish. He knows automatically how to be foolish. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Instruction. Instructing that child again with chastening and discipline. Foolishness is not cute. Amen. It may be cute maybe as a little child, but when he's 25 years old, it's not going to be cute anymore. And whose fault is it going to be because you didn't instruct him and by disciplining and chastening him or her? Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 with me. Proverbs 23 verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. If you discipline and chasten your child, the child's not going to break in half. The child's not going to die. Of course, I'm not talking about child abuse, amen. Beating up on a child, amen. But I'm talking about when the child needs instruction and discipline and chastening, then do it. He's not going to break. It's all right if the child cries. He has to realize what he or she has done is wrong. Not only when he sins against you as parents, he sins against, more importantly, Almighty God, because Almighty God is putting you over authority over that child. And Almighty God is over you, and you are getting your direction from God. Amen. Looking in Proverbs chapter 29. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. By disciplining and chastening that child, you're imparting wisdom. You're showing them the right way to act and behave, amen. And that's going to carry them along into their life and throughout their life, amen. You're going to show them that there are consequences to their actions. Their actions that are wrong. Never mind, you know, it may be right for one person or wrong for another, so we leave people alone. You know, there are no absolute values. There certainly is, according to God's word, wisdom from above, amen. Why do we need to receive instruction to know wisdom and instruction? Number two, why do we need to receive instruction to perceive the words of understanding? What does it mean to perceive the words of understanding? This is the ability to grasp the words of Scripture with which the Holy Spirit teaches, amen. Notice that these words are plain. Someone will say, I cannot understand the Bible, it's so hard. I cannot understand the words of the King James Bible, it's so difficult. Look at the Word of God says, Proverbs chapter 8. Notice these words are plain, very easily understood. Problem is not with the Word of God, it's with you, amen. Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 7 through 9. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain. It's talking about all of God's words. They are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. According to the word of God in Job 28:28, let's turn there just for a moment, Job 28:28, we see that understanding, since understanding implies departing from evil, it's not surprising so many have trouble understanding, amen? Looking in Job 28:28. Job 28 Verse 28, the Bible, the Word of God says, and unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's why people have very little understanding today, because they do not depart from evil. Amen. Why do we need to receive instruction? Number three, to receive instruction of wisdom. To receive the instruction of wisdom. The instruction which wisdom gives is a sense of the words. Real wisdom enables its recipient to receive chastisements that accompany it. Look at in Hebrews. See, with chastisement, when God chastises you and I as his children, we're receiving instruction and wisdom. Amen. Hopefully, you know, we'll see what he's trying to show us. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verses 3-8. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So with God, when we get chastised, we're not only receiving instruction, amen, and discipline from God, but it's showing that we're a son of God, amen, that we're his son. Looking in Psalm 118 with me, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 with me. Psalm 118, verse 18. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Psalmist seems like God had a pretty rough time with him, but he didn't kill him. Amen. Beat him sore, but didn't kill him. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And that's sometimes that chastisement gets pretty heavy. Amen. But remember, we receive God's instruction of wisdom when he chastises us. Why do we need to receive instruction? Number four, to understand justice, which this indicates is the discernment of what is right or wrong. A lot of people have trouble understanding what is right and wrong today, to understanding judgment, amen, because they're not receiving, amen, they're not receiving instructions according to the Word of God, wisdom that's from above. Why do we need to receive instruction? To understand judgment. This implies that a true wise man can draw proper judgment on an issue by discriminating the differences in the issues involved. Although our Lord warns us to judge not, that ye be not judged, in Matthew 7:1, he gives us further revelation of the Apostle Paul as He that is spiritual judgeth all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul tells a Christian to judge doubtful practices. Looking at Romans 14, 13. Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. Paul tells the Christian to judge doubtful practices, and real wisdom is needed for this. Amen. Why do we need to receive instruction? Number six, to discern equity. To discern equity. This implies the ability for the mature man to tell when two things are balanced and when they are not. Looking in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 with me. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 verse 26. Also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. See, someone that doesn't have discernment about equity punishes the wrong person, amen. Looking in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. In verse 8 it says, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Psalm 98:9 with me. Psalm 98:9, verse 9 of Psalm 98, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, which righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. That's why we need to receive instruction. Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14. In judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Judgment is turned away backwards, justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Equity is defined in Psalm 17. Psalm 17 with me. Psalm 17 and verse number 2. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Things that are equal. Equity is defined in Psalm 17:2 as meaning the ability to see what is equal and what is not. Why do we need to receive instruction? To give subtlety to the simple. This is prudence or discretion, which usually comes only with age, but is available for the young man. Look at what Paul told Timothy. in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So if we read, amen, receive instruction, we'll gain subtlety, amen, to act prudently and with discretion. Then lastly, why do we need to receive instruction? To have knowledge and discretion. Knowledge is a storehouse of information, of fact, while discretion is describing what a man must have to use those facts properly. Knowledge without discretion is like horsepower without control or religion without salvation. Discretion preserves. Discretion preserves. Look at Proverbs. This is our last verse tonight. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Discretion preserves what knowledge often destroys. All you have to do is look at any morning newspaper. Amen. Again, receiving instruction. Why do we need to receive instruction? Number one, to know wisdom and instruction. Number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Number four, to understand justice. Number five, to understand judgment. Number six, to discern equity. Number seven, to give subtlety to the simple. Number eight, to have knowledge and discretion. That's why it's so important to receive instruction. Next time we'll pick up on how to receive instruction according to the Word of God. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time, for our study in thy word, dear God. We pray, yes, that we will receive instruction from wisdom that is above and not below, Father. Father, we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When we were together, we started a study called Marks of Maturity in the Book of Proverbs. And the first in the series, Marks of Maturity, we began to look at receiving instruction. And we looked at why do we need to receive instruction, and we saw that in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, just a bit of a review. Why do we need to receive instruction? Number one, to know wisdom and instruction. Number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Number four, to understand justice. Number five, to understand judgment. Number six, to discern equity. Number seven, to give subtlety to the simple. And number eight, to have knowledge and discretion. And we want to continue our study and on receiving instruction. And point number two, we want to look at how to receive instruction. How to receive instruction. First of all, how do we want to receive instruction? By counsel. By counsel. Some refuse the greatest counsel available. Look it with me in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter number 1 with me. And verse 25. But ye have sought, set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And of course, some refuse the greatest counsel available, which is the Word of God. Look it with me in Psalm 119, verse number 9. Bible says, Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Look with me also in verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. So the psalmist knew that he did have the greatest counsel available in the Word of God. looking at how to receive instruction by seeking counsel. Seeking counsel available through the greatest counsel of all, the Word of God, and by the counsel of good men. The counsel of good men. Look at and look. Let's see what the Word of God says in Proverbs about the counsel of good men. Proverbs chapter 11 with me. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What the Word of God is telling us is that when you go about to make a decision, amen, that you should seek the counsel of good men, because maybe they've gone through a similar situation. Look at in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And it's making a contrast. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Someone who thinks he's right and doesn't bother to seek the counsel of the wise or a good man. Look at in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 with me. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So clearly we see in these verses that the way we're to receive instruction is by seeking counsel in the Word of God, the greatest counsel available to us, and also the counsel of good men. The other thing we want to recognize on how to receive instruction is by recognizing age has a great value. Age has a great value. Most of the time with age comes wisdom, comes experience. Look into the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And of course, the gray head is talking about gray hair or age, meaning wisdom. When one is young, his glory is his strength, amen. As you get older, your strength diminishes, but it's replaced, hopefully, with wisdom. Look at in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Talks about Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And of course, the book of Proverbs is, again, it's talking about the hoary head or the gray hair is a crown of glory. But there's a condition here. If it be found in the way of righteousness. I mean, just because someone is old doesn't necessarily mean they're wise. But if they're old, age and age, and still doing right by God, then there's glory to that. And you want to seek the counsel of that person. Looking in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And of course, what the Word of God is saying here is yes, you should go to your mother and father for counsel, because they're older than you and hopefully wiser than you. And of course, that would be that you would also seek the counsel again if they've been living right for God for many years. Amen. Because if you don't, you're going to, it's going to cause shame upon you and bring reproach, again, which is shame. Look at also in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. A fool, again, here we go, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent, is wise. So, how many times our parents have tried to tell us something for our own good and we wouldn't listen, and like the, we read the scripture before, boy, did it bring shame and reproach upon us, amen? And saying here, a fool, you a person is a fool if they despise his father's instruction. The word of God calls a person a fool if he despises the instruction. When your father tries to tell you something for your own good and you despise it, the word of God says, you're a fool. As I got thinking about this, and about we're looking at how to receive instruction, and we're looking at by recognizing age has great value, and I thought of an illustration in the word of God of someone who was young and who chose not to follow the instructions of those who were older and wiser. And of course, the person that comes to mind is Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Let's turn to 1 Kings with me. We'll come back to our study in just a moment. But I want you to see this illustration of Solomon, son Rehoboam, in 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll pick up in verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he, that's Rehoboam, forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. So, Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David, So Israel departed under their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. So we see here, Rehoboam went to the older men that had worked with his father, and they told him what to do and how to act before the people. And he forsook their wise counsel, but instead listened to those that he grew up with. And as a result, we see that the kingdom, the nation of Israel, was a divided kingdom from then on. From then on, you had Rehoboam reigned over the kingdom of the south, amen, which had its capital in Jerusalem, which was made up of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And then we see, of course, Jeroboam here becomes king over the northern kingdom of the remaining 10 tribes. It had the capital of Samaria. Good example, good Bible example of what happens when you don't recognize that age has a great value. Again, we're looking at, in the scriptures, how to receive instruction by seeking counsel, by recognizing age has great value, and then also by listening closely. Listening closely. Many of us are poor listeners. We like to speak a lot, amen? It's one thing to seek counsel, even from the wise old men, but quite another thing to really listen to what they have to say. Going back to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. So listen, when you go to someone, you seek counsel from the old, from the wise, someone that's aged, that's had experience, listen to that person. Lean on their every word. Hear what they have to say. Don't go shooting off your mouth, amen? Hear the matter. Hear all the facts. Get the advice. Look at in Proverbs chapter 19 with me, verse 20. Notice the first word here. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel. Hear. Listen. To be able to hear something, you have to be a good listener. Hear counsel. And receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So you're to listen to the counsel, you're to receive it, you take it in, and as a result, if you do that, you'll be wise. Another way we're to receive instruction is by speaking slowly. Speaking slowly. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. See, sometimes we can't wait to hear ourselves talk, amen. What we need to do is listen more according to the Word of God. That's what it's saying. How to receive instruction is we're to listen more. What does the person have to say? Don't be so anxious to speak. And when you speak, speak slowly. In fact, the Bible tells us that a fool is perceived to be wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Amen. And that's what the Bible is telling us here. When we're seeking counsel, we're going to get advice. We're not going to find the answer that we want to hear so we can go and do the thing that we want to do. Amen. We're seeking godly counsel from the Word of God. Amen. From those who are aged, who have experience as Christians, amen, have been through some things that we haven't been through. And whether when we go to the Word of God or when we go to those that are aged, we're to listen closely to what they say. And we're to speak slowly. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. How many times do we open our mouths before thinking when we stick our foot in it and we find ourselves in trouble? Amen. Many a time. I think of Peter. The Apostle Peter. Remember him? How many times did he open his mouth there and stick his foot in and get himself in trouble? For example, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. 3 times he denied him. I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. And he started cursing there at the end. And then he remembered what Jesus said. And he wept bitterly. Or he said, you know, he said to Jesus, when Jesus told him, hey, you know, talk to the disciples who said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified and so forth and so on. And he said, oh, no, that can't be. Here he's refuting the Word of God. God manifested in the flesh, the Word, the eternal Word right there, telling him what's going to happen, and he's refuting him. Speak slowly. How else are we to receive instructions according to the Word of God? By observation. Proverbs chapter 24. By observation. So we can go and listen closely, speak slowly, but we can also receive instruction by observation. Looking in Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful. Slothful, lazy, another name for a lazy person. And by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. In other words, a man that doesn't have any understanding. And this is what we saw. This was the result of going to a field, went by the field of a slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. This is what was found. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, and a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. And just by observation, just by watching someone who was slothful and void of understanding, there wasn't any verbal instruction, just by observing, just going by and going by the property of a man, who was lazy, who had no understanding, who let his property go down. He saw what happened is this all led to poverty. The man had nothing. He probably had very little to eat because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And we can see that. We can learn things by observation. We can receive instruction by observation according to the Word of God, like this man did. You're going to be slothful and lazy and void of understanding. You're going to end up poor. It's going to be your own fault. You're not going to be able to blame anybody just by observation, just by watching people, how they carry themselves, how they speak. What's the result of it? What makes someone successful and what makes someone a failure? Say in business. I'm not necessarily saying someone's successful because they're cutthroat and they do things against the law. No, I'm not saying that. As long as it's within the boundaries of the Word of God. But we can learn so much by observing others. Amen. And what they do and what they don't do. And how they act and how they react. Just by observation. So we see then how to receive instruction. Number one, we saw by seeking counsel. Number two, by recognizing age has great value. Number three, by listening closely. Number four, by speaking slowly. And number five, by observation. Now, we want to look at point number three in our lesson, receiving instruction. Point number three, what's the results? The results of receiving instruction. We've looked at why we need to receive instructions, how to do it, and now what's the results of receiving instruction? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll see the results. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 5 and 6. A wise man will hear, it will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb, in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Well, we see five things here that will be a result of receiving instruction. He will increase in learning. You'll have more of a knowledge base than you went down into when you first began. You will now have by speaking to your others and by making observations, you and going to the Word of God, we must not discount that. Paramount, number one, go to the Word of God for wise counsel. It's the greatest source of wise counsel. That you'll be able to, you'll increase in learning. You'll be able to make the decision according to the will of God, because you've sought to receive instruction according to the will of God, the perfect will of God, which is His Word, and He tells you how to do it. We see, too, He will attain to wise counsels. Number three, He will understand Proverbs and their interpretation in the dark sayings of the wise. As we look at the scriptures, there's many proverbs in the scriptures. There's many parables. But by receiving instruction, you'll understand them. and the truths that they're trying to portray, and you'll be able to interpret it and use it, apply it to your individual lives. A proverb is defined as a short sentence, often repeated, expressing a well-known truth or common fact ascertained by experience or observation, a maximum of wisdom. And we see also in the scripture it sometimes signifies a moral sentence or maximum that is enigmatical, a dark saying of the wise that requires interpretation. So what the Word of God tells us then, if we receive instruction, we'll be able to understand these moral truths, these maxims. The Bible tells us, to him that hath shall more be given. It is a New Testament way of describing this development. The only requirements are that the wise man must take heed to what he hears and how he hears. For example, look in Mark with me, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4 with me, verse 24. Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So Jesus tells us, the more that you understand, the more that you're willing to take in godly instruction, the more that you're going to be given, the more light you're going to be given. Looking in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. What it's talking about is there will be a privilege withdrawn if you don't heed what the Word of God says, what the counsel says, amen, then someone else will get it that will hear and take heed. So that's our, concludes our lesson number one in our series called Marks of Maturity in the Book of Proverbs. Receiving instruction. Why do we need to receive instruction? One, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. To understand justice, to understand judgment, to discern equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to have knowledge and discretion. How do we receive instruction? By seeking counsel, by recognizing age has great value, by listening closely, by speaking slowly, by observation. And then finally, the results of receiving instruction. The person will increase in learning, will attain to wise counsel, will understand the proverbs and their interpretations and the dark sayings of the wise. Next week, we'll continue with lesson number two in our series entitled Marks of Maturity.